from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Ursula is out today. Dre's fills in for Ursula. Good morning to you, Ursula. Dre's, wow. See, it's a Monday for me. Good morning, Dre's.
It's
good morning,
good,
brother.
Man, good morning, my guy. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I cannot complain. I'm excited to be doing this show with you, of course. And I just got to tell you, I just want to warn you in advance. Here in a few minutes, we are going to discuss Simone Biles. And as you guys know, she is going to compete in the last events for tomorrow in the Olympics. Well, Dre's and I, we haven't had a discussion about this. And as a matter of fact, most, and I say most of my discussions about Simone have been off the air, have been with current athletes, former athletes, people who do not make this discussion on record, if you will, because there's a lot of people talking about this, and what they say on the record and off the record are completely different. So we will get that to the bottom of that. But right now, it is time for three things that all of you need to know at 10. Okay, all right. That sound bar is not there. All right,
number one.
Oh, there it
there
is.
We go. I got it. Okay, candidates for Seattle mayor campaigned heavily over the weekend ahead of the primary election. Ballots are due tomorrow. As of Friday, only 13% of Seattle voters had returned those ballots. Officials predict that number will go up to about 30% by election night.
People don't care. That's right. I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm gonna keep it all the way straight with you guys. A lot of people get on social media, and I specifically have not said anything because I wanted to see something. I wanted to see something, and I'm going to share with you my little findings. As you guys know, I spend a large majority of time on social media. And some of the same folks that complain about what's going on in our country or what's going on in our community is what's going on. I have not seen any of you talk about voting, the importance of voting. Those numbers, Brother Dre's, right now, the ballot returns as of this morning, King County, 13.5%. Pierce County, where I'm at, shout out to Pierce County. Y'all know I love you. 9.2% of the ballots are in so far. And in Snohomish County, 13.5%. Again, like Laura said, they are expecting that to get up to 30%. 30%, y'all? This is not good. And I don't care what the passes used to be. I don't care. Well, this is normal. No, it should not be normal. And we should be getting out here and voting because this is what matters in our communities. Right. And then you can't get on here and all of a sudden start complaining. And I'm not saying that if you don't vote, you don't have the right to complain. I don't want to go there, but I do want to remain consistent by saying we have got to stay on top of these things, and this is a concern. Dre's, I'm going to end it with this. People don't care, prove me wrong.
Listen, I don't want to prove you wrong. I'm with you. This is hilarious to me, man. This is hilarious because I feel like we're so full of it, bro. You know what? I'm going to say this. President, governor, mayor. That's it. That's it. I'll give you a senator. We don't care about anything else, right? If you're telling me I'm voting for president, I'm in. You want to tell me I'm voting? Listen, we don't care. And honestly, I think I'm more like, how do we get us to care, right? Because you know what? I'm going to say something. I don't care. I know it's unpopular.
And I mean that as in. Wait. Explain that. Explain that.
I know, and I need to, right? Because people love to take my soundbite and run with it and tweet at me. What I mean by that is, it's okay. I'm built for it. But I'm being transparent and saying, I need to do better. I need to be better informed. It can't just be about the perceived big things. It is the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that are killing us, people. It's our school boards. It's the entire fabric of our society that I have not been as tapped into as I need to be. And I'm hoping that when I say that, that maybe somebody else out there... Well, obviously, if 13% of the population is the only ones voting, I ain't alone. You know what I'm saying? And some of that I think is we're not as informed. We're not as tapped in. Some of it I will say now I'm just looking into myself is I'm fatigued. I'm politically fatigued. You know what I mean? Like, I just came through a big race. And whether you feel like you won or lost with Biden, you're not quite ready to hop back in the ring yet. You know what I mean? You're like, jeez, we got to put the gloves on again. Yeah, the work is not done. But I'm sorry. That's what I mean by that. So do I care? Absolutely, I care. Do I need to do better? Absolutely. So I'm calling myself to the carpet and everyone else who is a part of that. And in Pierce County, if only 9%, that 91% who haven't tapped in, I'm calling you to the carpet with myself. We have to do better. We got to get more tapped in or nothing in our city is going to be the way we want it. And we're going to be blaming other people. You wouldn't say it, G, so I will. We're going to be blaming other people when the fault is ours.
Let me read a text. And the one thing that I can all admit, I tell the Gene Ursula Show listeners every day. Well, at least I try to. Since I've done this show, I have, when it comes to news and trying to see the other side and the different angles, I love to tell you guys that I came up with that on my own. It's not. Mm-hmm. I've come up with that because of our listeners. And especially, I have the opportunity every single day. It's like going to school and then going to school and talking about every single topic that you learn. This is what I get from our listeners. Anyways, let me read something to you. And I want to ask you if you agree with this. 206 says, president or governor, I care. Everything else goes in a garbage can. I just want to say, is that person, like, I hear that and I believe that. So I want to ask you, is that person almost the majority? Honestly.
Yeah. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, okay, yes. And here's why, G. It's not, the question is not, yes, they are the majority, right? That's why I just told you. I don't care. I don't, ask me if I care about the Seahawks. Yes. And you know how you know I care? I'm tapped in. I can give you things and details. Ask me if I care about COVID. Yes, I can give you information and vaccines and why. Ask me about, you know, all of the seats being ran for in Washington and the school board and we're voting. I don't. But I'll tell you what we can do. Honestly, we're not educating ourselves young enough. And this starts going, school is failing us. And it's not
Bingo.
Teaching us.
There
and
it
I'm
really
using school because it's the one place in space where we all go to actually learn. So, yes, you should self-educate, etc. But I'm saying school is failing us. The place where you have an opportunity, we're spending so much time learning a bunch of stuff we don't need. And there's all these things that we need in order to be good citizens, tapped in and informed. And school is failing us.
Laura, let's get to number two.
Number two.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy joked over the weekend that it would be hard not to hit Speaker Nancy Pelosi with a gavel if the GOP wins control during next year's midterm elections. McCarthy made the remark at a $250 a plate dinner on Saturday. After inviting everyone at the dinner to see Pelosi hand him the gavel, giving him control of the House as Speaker, the joke was, quote, it will be hard not to hit her with it, but I will bang it down, end quote.
We do a terrible job of protecting our women. Let me repeat that again. We do a terrible job of protecting our women. We, on one hand, we say things that like, oh, yeah, you know, women is important. But we have a long history. And, you know, I mean, you can open up a history book. You can go through and you can see when women were allowed to do things, when they're allowed to vote and would hate what they've gone through in the workplace. And have we gotten better? Sure. Is there still a long ways to go? Absolutely. I think what Kevin McCarthy said, I don't think it's funny at all. But what really disappoints me, here's the part that disappoints me, is because of where Kevin aligns at with his politics, that nobody usually on that side will speak out against that. And that's the problem that I have. We need to get back to where we can get past our politics and hold those accountable for their actions. So for an example, Dre's, you and I are friends. We are brothers. I mean, no doubt about it. But if you're disrespectful towards a woman, I'm calling you on it, brother. And I hope the same way goes for me, you on me. And that's the part that I have a problem with.
It's funny, as you say that, it triggers me. I actually had that happen with a friend. One of my good friends from childhood, I was hanging out with him at one point, and I saw him disrespect a woman, and I lost it. And basically told him in other terminology, I don't ever want to see you do something like that again, right? And we had a conversation. So yes, I'm in all into accountability of my friendships, and it doesn't change anything. I'm not going to stop loving him because he's got a major issue he needs to get over. But nonetheless, I'm going to call him on it and hold him to being the man that I know he wants to be. The same should be present in our politics. I will, however, though, right, go a different direction with this about Nancy Pelosi. I don't see it as that. And I need you to show me how it is that. I see this as politics as usual and a joke gone bad. A stupid joke, a bad joke, a dumb joke, an inappropriate joke. But do I look at this and take this all the way into women's rights? I don't. I just look at this as the political climate is so intense that the minute any one of them gets an opportunity to one up and send a joke their other person's way or step on them or prove to their constituents that they're not afraid to back down and they'll say what they need to say, then they say it. And that's what I view this as. I welcome you telling me why I'm wrong and why women's rights needs to be interjected here. I don't see that as this. I mean, yes, Nancy's a woman, but I think if this was a white guy there that they had the same history with, I believe he would have said a poor joke about him as well, and the same joke would have applied. Tell me I'm wrong.
Can't really tell you you're wrong because I think nastiness, right? I don't think this was this has anything to do with politics. I don't think Kevin McCarthy said that because of his politics. I think he said that because, let's just be real, it has not been very unpopular to make a joke like that, right? It needs to be unpopular. That needs to be whoa, right? We need to get to that part when it comes to women. I don't care who you are. Things like that, hit her over the head with a gavel, that needs to be, time out. Hold on, player. You can't be saying that. That needs to be the space throughout our country. So if we're going to get better, if things are going to get where they need to be, that part needs to be a no-no.
Fair enough. I'm with you on that. Bad joke, like I said. Poor joke.
Let's get to number three.
Number three.
Kyle says she will compete in the balance beam final on Tuesday. It's the last possible event she can join at the Tokyo Olympics. Biles withdrew from most of her events due to mental health issues. In interviews, she said that she had lost the ability to safely figure out where she was in the air, an effect gymnasts call the twisties. She has been training in a local Tokyo gym to try to ease her way back into the competition.
Wow, what a topic. What a topic. And mental health, yes, it is a real thing. But you know what? I noticed I talked about this last week, and there are a lot of people that were kind of upset with me with the way I came at it. Well, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be upset with me again, because that's the thing about mental health. We all have some way, right, of dealing with it, mm-hmm. whether it's mental health issues, challenges, all of the things that are associated with. So this isn't just an athlete thing. This isn't just a Simone Biles thing. This is all of us having these types of situations. Now, Here's the problem that I have with this whole topic. There's a common denominator that is going on with all of this. Because, yes, mental health is a real thing. The problems associated with it are a real thing. But so is mental toughness. And let's be real. You got to have that in this world. And by the way, they say life is hard. Wait, you think life ain't been hard forever? Life is hard for all of us. In the case of Simone, I have done this. I have had conversations with current athletes. I've had conversations with former athletes. Because the truth of the matter is, I wanted to get to the bottom of this topic. Why? Because I have a son that is in this. So selfishly speaking, I have a little bit more of a reason. Like, I'm an older man, so I'm fine. I have things that I have to deal with, but I see where my son is heading. He's heading in a sport in which it is not so forgiving to those athletes in football, right? And so, Dre's, I got to tell you, man, I've talked to people that will not go on the record. They will not bring their opinion on the record because there is this, as you guys know, on Twitter and on social media, there is, how dare you? How dare you say anything towards someone? Hold up, slow up. Yes, we're fine. Look, so what Simone's going through, I think it is very selfish for people to attack Simone. Don't attack her. But at the same time, be careful with your opinion about it, because you never know who's watching, because it could be your son, your daughter, your loved one that sees that and says, maybe if they have a little, if you will, tough challenge going on, they might use that opportunity to say, oh, okay, well, this person did that, so let me stop. And the last point I'll make is this, Drace. Mm-hmm. Has there ever been someone that you have looked up to that maybe you didn't know, or maybe a movie that you saw or something that kind of helped you get through something? Well, I know it was for me, and I know this sounds corny what I'm going to say. Rocky. Uh-oh. Rocky. Okay. No, this sounds corny. But okay. Rocky okay. Movies, I promise you, my entire life has been the inspiration for me to get through so many challenges. Drace, you got about 30 seconds, and then we're going to continue this conversation in the next segment. But go ahead. Let's get us a taste of what you're going to be talking about next with this.
All I can tell you guys is I'll lead with this, and I'll send us home with G's words. You cannot have a conversation about mental health if you're not going to talk about mental toughness. Two things can be true, and when we come back, we're talking about both of those. Stay tuned, y'all.
You guys are listening to Cheaters.
Radio, TV, and even the press. Say what's the meaning of VAPORS.
It is the G and Ursula show. As you guys know, Dre's is filling in for Ursula. And we are continuing on with our conversation about Simone Biles. And as you guys know, that she will be competing tomorrow in one of the last events for the Olympics, as she took that mental health break during that time. And this is a very hot topic because there's so many weighing opinions. And there's one thing that's clear. I want to make this clear. I have no idea what Simone Biles is going through. I don't know what it's like. I have no clue. That does not mean that I don't have an opinion about mental health. So now, Dre's, I'm going to throw this to you. I want you to weigh in on this topic, sir.
I appreciate it. First, let me just say thanks to you guys. Rest in peace to Biz Markie. It's his funeral today. The hip-hop legend passed away. I couldn't go on without saying that. But as we get into the Simone Biles thing, I called a bunch of friends just like you, professional athletes, and I just wanted to ask them to weigh in. I got the exact same thing as you. No one wanted to go on the record. It was, hey, I ain't going on the record, which is indicative of our culture and where we're at. One of them did just say, I could use words, though, and one of them did say, look, all I can say for myself is when I go to war, I'm trying to finish the mission, right? I'm not coming back until this mission is finished. So it was kind of this this concept of, hey, you know, me personally, the way I was brought up and I was trained, you know, you're in war. You're trying to finish the mission. You have a job to do. How do I walk off without finishing the mission? But also there was a deference and a mindset that said, hey, look, these kids in this generation are going through something different than even most of us can understand because of social media, right? And a part of us wants to look at them and go, man, this can't be true. Man, but if they're all saying it, you got to start to believe there's something about the pressure that comes from social media. Now I give you my takes personally, right? Couple different things. We said going out of the last break, you cannot talk mental health without talking mental toughness. Two things can be true, people. No matter where you stand on the side of this debate, both sides have some very legitimate points. Number one, as an athlete, if you're going to get to the top of any mountain and win a championship or be the best or be your best self, you're going to have to come to some moment where you think, I don't have any more, and you actually do. A coach yelling at you, like you said in Rocky, it was his coach yelling, saying, come on, Rocco, give us more. And he's pushing, and you think you're done, but you're actually not. It is that moment that produces the greatness in you. It is Michael Jordan playing with what was it, the stomach flu or whatever, food poisoning. It's Richard Sherman playing in the Super Bowl, literally with one arm. Right? It's you going, I don't think I have any more, but I actually do. And these lessons are not just for football or basketball or sports. These are life lessons. It is that thing that causes mental toughness, which is only produced through trial and pushing and striving and going past what you thought was your breaking point, and you didn't know how much you had in you. On the flip side of that aisle is the exact opposite. Every single person has a breaking point. There is a moment where you actually don't have any more. And we may even have to save you from yourself. It's the UFC guy who's in a chokehold and just won't tap out. So they gotta have a referee because this guy would rather be choked out than tap out. It's the NFL player who actually has a concussion and wants to go back in the game. We gotta save you for yourself. Two things can be true. On the flip side of that is, there is a breaking point, and there's nothing wrong with coming to that point where you're like, you know what? I don't have any more. Who is to make that call? That's the challenge we're having. Is it the athlete? Is it the coach? Who knows? All I can tell you is this. I trust Simone Biles, right? I see both, but I trust her. And the reason why is because she's been to the mountaintop. She's showed me that she knows what it takes to be the best and get to the top and win the gold and do all of these things. And if she's done that and she got to that point and said, yo, this is different. I can't go. I have to trust her. That's all I have. And I recognize that in putting this in the water, we run the risk of raising a generation that is coddled, that never reaches their full potential, because I do have a child. I have a daughter, and there were times in her life where she thought she didn't have any more, and I pushed her, and she had more, and she's grateful for it. My mother did it. I had coaches who did it. I also recognize I do have a breaking point, and there's a moment where I can't go any more. And so to me, two things can be true. Once again, we're struggling with both of these. And to me, Simone Biles just opens up the conversation. She's not the answer. She's raising the question, how do we set what that breaking point is? And that part, I don't know. But those are my thoughts on, man, all of it Simone Biles related.
This topic, and I like how you said you trust Simone Biles, because apparently she, look at how far she has come. She has made it this far. And I don't think Simone Biles is lying. I trust that she is really having the twisties and having these issues. Mm-hmm. Like you said, both things can be true. You can believe Simone and also take that conversation and talk about it further. Because here's why this conversation is so important to me. Maybe you have your reasons why it's important to you. But let me tell you why it's important to me.
Okay. Yeah.
Because life is hard. Life is really, really hard. And people go through so many things. As a matter of fact, you might be sitting next to somebody at work and you have no idea what they're going through. So when people say to me, you don't know what Simone Biles is going through, you're right. I don't. Mm-hmm. And Simone Biles doesn't know what maybe you are going through. And I bring that up to say, in order for Simone to get to where she is today, that means before we knew who she was able to get through so much. Before Naomi Osaka got to where she was today, she was able to get through. Now, she had a, they, like you said, they all have a breaking point. But here's something that is a common denominator that nobody is talking about. All of the people that we know of and we're having these conversations about have one thing in common. They're all financially set and they're all at the top of their game when they decide to take the mental health break. Now, let's talk about the Olympic athletes that never made it because they had to take a mental health break. What's their name? What's their name? You don't know their name because they had to take a break, and rightfully so. They had to do the right thing for them. I'm not arguing that. But this conversation means so much to me because there's somebody that sees this. There's somebody that sees and hears these conversations and they think, okay, well, I'm going to quit. Or they think, okay, maybe I can just do that. You have to do what's right for you and you have to seek your own help. Don't do what somebody else does. You know what? I debated this entire show. I debated back and forth. Yeah. And I'm gonna tell you guys something next. I'm gonna tell you guys something that I've never told anybody in my entire life other than two people. Two people know the story that I'm going to tell you. It involves mental health. I'm going to explain it to you next, and that maybe then you'll understand why I'm so passionate about this topic. We do this next. It's Gina. This is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Monday to all of you. And Dre's is filling in for Ursula, and we have had a continued conversation surrounding Simone Biles, but that's where the conversation starts. But the conversation really kind of heads into the conversation of mental health. And Dre's, you sent me a text and you said the older generation needs to embrace mental health. And you said the younger generation needs to embrace mental toughness. And all of that is for absolutely true. But here's something that I decided to talk about. And the reason why I'm telling this story is because, Dre's, you said something. And by the way, it was so profound what you said. It made me share this story that I'm going to share. Because you said every one of us, even though we go through things, we all have a breaking point. And you are so right about that. You're so right. And with Simone and what she's going through, maybe she had a breaking point. And she obviously did. I cannot doubt that. And I think that we have to be careful at saying nasty things to her. And we also have to be careful about understanding that what we individually go through and how the it's important to get help. In 2009, yes, it is true that I lived in my car. And it was hard, no doubt about it. I've shared that story on the air many times. You guys know that. And it wasn't really that bad. If anything, it was more a blow to the ego, if you will. Here I am, a grown man with kids who are living with their mom and me living in my car. That was kind of a, it was kind of bad. But it's not, I wasn't on the streets, okay? I was just sleeping in my car. I was showering at Mieko's Fitness up in Lake City. So it wasn't that bad. But as I was starting to bounce back up and starting to get things right, you always, sometimes you have setback. And I was no different. I had some setback. The year is 2012. The month is in March. I'll never forget this day ever in my life. And I'm sharing the story with you guys because you, again, Dre's, you really got it out of me. My brakes were messed up on my car. I couldn't afford to fix it. It was going to be like $400 and something. I couldn't afford to fix it. The work van I had at the time did not have tabs. Not only did it not have tabs, my insurance had lapsed. I was living in Bonnie Lake at the time. I got pulled over, and when I got pulled over, of course, you know, got in trouble for that. Then I got pulled over again. And so now the year is March, and I have to go to court for it. And it was walking distance, so I knew that I could not drive at all. I could not drive at all, period, because I had this hanging over me. I could not work during this time. Money is just not existing. I couldn't even go and pick up my kids. I'd gone to court this day, and it was raining. I was walking in the rain, and you know, sometimes you're just kind of feeling down and feeling bad about yourself. And that's what I was doing. It just felt like, it just felt terrible. Something about this day felt terrible. I get to court and go into court. And what the judge was saying to me was not wrong. But how the judge talked to me devastated me. It devastated me to the sense of it just made me can feel like a complete failure, right? And I'm sure the judge was doing his job. I'm sure this judge had been seeing and used to people coming in his court, not being able to pay tickets, driving with a suspended license. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I had a suspended license at the time as well. I forgot to bring that up. So I had all of these things hanging over my head. And just to the point where I'm leaving out of there and knowing that if I don't get this taken care of, I'm possibly going to go to jail because I can't afford to pay the fines. And it was how they talked to me. I walk out of there. I'm walking home. And there's off this road, there's this little embankment. And I got close to it. And within a matter of 30 seconds, I said to myself, I want to be done. I was getting ready to jump off this cliff. It's right there on Bonnie Lake. I'm going to take a picture of this road because I've, in the last year, I've gone by it twice. And I've never told anybody the story. Mm-hmm. I stood there. And there was a loud horn that had nothing to do with me, but further down the street. It was that loud horn that stopped me from jumping. I'm telling that story to say, if I jumped there, that was my mental breaking point right there. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that happens for my children going forward. And so all I'm saying is this, you never know what somebody's going through. And so the best thing that we all can do is to take mental health serious. And make sure that we reach out to professionals and make going to therapy an okay thing because it's so important. You guys are listening to the GNR Show.